I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hope you're having a great day. We are live at Flowery Branch, guys. Falcons OTA practices continuing. Friday, by the way, we're going to be out at Silverbacks Park. Willie B's is where we're going to be, and you can join us 2 to 7, enjoy food and drinks in partnership with Soccer in the Streets and Bud Light, supporting Atlanta's communities through the beautiful game of soccer and helping them discover the potential on and off the field, their potential, that is. And you can learn more at soccerstreets.org, Mike. After visiting with the folks from Bud Light and Soccer in the Streets yesterday, man, excited, even more excited about this event on Friday.
Yeah, man, it's an event for the adults, and you guys, your efforts in the different leagues, a lot of folks playing. They've got like a Champions League. They've got all sorts of really cool stuff we're going to tell you about on Friday. A lot of guys already aware of this, and you guys know about like the Station Soccer. Those are such cool events too. But your chance to help the kids and help kids basically be able to play soccer for free, because one thing I think parents know about youth sports is a fortune, and the idea that you can offer some of these great, first off, get a feel for the kids to play on, yeah. And you can do your part to contribute by hanging out with us
and drink. Hey, exactly. This hour is brought to you by the Georgia Hemp Company, guys. Here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we will get into tonight, Game 3, NBA Finals. I know Mike is like, when is this thing going to resume?
Yeah, I mean, I said it last night. I mean, I got to wait until Thursday. Hockey's taking a page out of the NBA's playbook. And last night, yes, luckily we had the Braves, and it took forever because they had a lightning delay. They were waiting for the weather to clear out. But, yeah, man, I want sports. Did anybody end up watching last night during the Braves' rain delay?
What's that?
Just real quick. I was going to save it for Guy Talk, but it was the Dodgers-Yankees 77-78 rehash. It's a documentary. Nothing you wouldn't have known had you read the Bronx Zoo book, but a little more on how dysfunctional the Dodgers were behind the scenes.
Okay.
And, you know, it's funny, back in the day when I was a kid, thinking Billy Martin was just the coolest thing, and realized Billy Martin was really a sad figure.
Mm.
I mean, it's sad. And Reggie almost comes off as almost a sympathetic figure in this one, which is hard sometimes for Reggie to be in that role, but it's on HBO. I'm sorry, it's on ESPN running right now, but it's what's it called, Chris? Dodgers, Yankees. I got to find the name of it, but it's
one part or two?
It's a 1-2 hours narrated by Rob Lowe.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can knock it out one night.
Yeah. Because the rain delay, I kept going back and seeing when the game was going to resume, and it was like still in a rain delay.
Uncivil war.
Okay. And lightning situation. But, yeah, that's cool. And I love documentaries like that. There's one on Prime about Reggie Jackson. Have you seen this one?
No, not yet.
Yeah, it's. I think it's called Reggie, and it's excellent as well. Hey, guys, we've got our NFL Blitz, as we mentioned. We'll talk about what's going on. Sad news for the Falcons, though, before we get to everything else, and that is Avery Williams, Mike, torn ACL. He tore it Friday when we were at Mercedes-Benz. They get word, a coach talked about it today, that he's probably going to miss the season. But we talk about that running back room. Now, listen, as a return guy and all the things that this guy could do, you know, you talk about Swiss knife, right? Swiss Army knife.
Right.
Here's a guy that kind of falls into that category. But we said this. I think when you look at the running back room, I thought his carries would be limited. But special teams and other things that he was going to be a part of, this doesn't help us because Avery Williams is going to be a guy that saw a lot of playing time.
And that's the thing. I mean, the guy's been now, you know, unfortunately, if you're a Falcon fan, 2 years with us, and he's had a chance to grab one for a touchdown. And you just hate it because, you know, now you think about all the work you got to put in now. Think about the rehab. Think about, we were just talking about Jacob deGrom yesterday. He's going to be at least a year until next season's already started and you can't play. Same thing goes for, you know, for Avery Williams. It's a real buzzkill. But it is another opportunity for another of the running backs, including some of the undrafted free agents and also veterans that were invited to camp this year.
All right, guys, 404-726-0929. Find Mike. He is at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that is going on. And normally at the studio, which we are not today, you can watch us on Twitch and YouTube, but we'll be back tomorrow. And then Friday, we're back out again at Willie B's. Willie B's?
Willie B's.
Yeah, at Silverbacks Park. All right, hey, Day Day's behind the glass. Day Day, man, let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz is brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Dan Campbell might coming out and saying he's better than he was when he was with the Rams. Well, listen, he led the Rams to the Super Bowl. Now, they didn't do anything. That Super Bowl is actually here right. with the Patriots, and they didn't score any points, and they didn't do anything. But I'm talking about Jared Goff, who, you know, after going to the Lions, a lot of people said, well, he won't last. And now you've got Dan Campbell coming out saying he's a better quarterback than he was when he was with the Rams, in my opinion, because he can do more things. He's mentally on it. We've come light years ahead of where he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it almost seemed like a bad ending to his career. Well, you're being shipped off to Detroit. You know, sorry, kid. Remember the video of him in that beautiful house? He had like a pitch and putt green. He could hit balls off the back of his ravine. He had the swimming
That's
pool
right.
and
That's right.
the smoking super hot model wife and. Now you're going to Detroit, Beirut of the Midwest. Enjoy. So, yeah, the kid has come around, and the numbers don't say otherwise. I mean, you go back and look, his best season in L.A., 32 touchdowns in 12. That's pretty darn good. That's the year they go to the Super Bowl. 29 touchdowns, 7 picks last year. As they're adding, Jameson Williams came out only in the last quarter of the season because of the knee injury. They'll miss him to start the season. But maybe, look, Dan Campbell's watching him, and he's had him now for 2 full seasons. So, you know, he's certainly doing better than he did last year.
No. He is.
And listen,
maybe Hendon Hooker is a year away. He can sit and watch, and maybe right. that's the transition.
And a lot of people feel that way anyway when he was drafted.
Yeah, but listen, Goff, if he leads into the playoffs this year, I think a lot of people are going to have a change of opinion about Jared Goff. Speaking of quarterbacks, Bills Mafia. Josh Allen's on the cover, Mike, of Madden 24. He put out a social media post, Dream Come True, and it's kind of a cool cover. I mean, honestly, you know, these games are so realistic now. But he's in the stands, and so they've got fans around him on the deluxe edition. And then there's another cover where he's just kind of got his hands in his shoulder pads right here by his neck. Typical Josh Allen.
And there's
look.
One where he's got no shirt on. He's got a sword, and it looks like the poster in Ben Stiller's
okay,
office in Dodgeball.
Wait a minute. I haven't seen that one.
He's like Conan the Barbarian. He's holding the sword up. There's a woman holding onto his thigh. You didn't see that one? It's pretty cool.
He was drafted by the Bills in 2018. Gone to 2 bowl, Pro Bowl appearances, guys. And listen, the Bills are a team to be reckoned with. Now, some people say, wait a minute, he's not an MVP, he's not this and that. Josh Allen's one of the best 5 quarterbacks in the NFL.
I mean, period. You want to get into it, top 3, top 4, he's one of those dudes. But I do maintain, and I always kind of throw this caveat when you and I mention Josh Allen, that I think that they've got to learn in Buffalo to get someone who's as good as Brian Daboll around him. Because I did think there were times, whether it was just, look, the defense has had something to say with it, but there were some games, like the Minnesota game was really funky, you know, where he's making bad decisions in the red zone the other way, bad decisions with the goalposts, shadow the goalposts, you know, right behind him. I just wonder if
the fumble,
he's going to miss it, if he's going to miss Dable. That aside, he's a stud. What would really help Buffalo would be DeAndre Hopkins. Reports at Pro Football Talk say he's visiting in Nashville with the Titans. Now, I got to be honest. I mean, if DeAndre Hopkins wants to go somewhere and not catch any touchdowns, that'd be a good spot. Nashville? Tannehill?
It's the money, Mike. I mean,
I guess they got it to spend, but he's not. I mean, is he a Vrabel kind of guy?
I don't know.
Vrabel doesn't really care about. I mean, A.J. Brown, they traded him. That was over Vrabel's pay grade.
But remember, Vrabel was with the Texans, and him and D-Hop have a relationship. He was there. You know, he was on the other side of the ball. Right. But I think more than anything, how much money is he going to get? I keep hearing he wants Odell Beckham money for one season. Mm. Odell's a $15 million, up to $18 million deal for 1 year. If the Titans are willing to pay D-Hop that, he's gonna end up there. That's been part of the problem. All these teams are like, it's sort of like with the Lamar situation. We're out. We're not interested because nobody wants to pay him $15, $18 million for one season. And knowing that D-Hop may come in, but, Mike, he may only catch 3 touchdowns. That's not going to get you over the top.
Now, the other thing is, if you're a team right now that's got a quarterback and you're paying him $50 million, the Jets, and you get one season to make this work. I know that you always say they'll find a way with cap space, but I get it. Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, they went and got Corey Davis. Randall Cobb, I know that's an Aaron Rodgers project, and wherever he goes, Randall's got to come along too. But if the Jets could find a way to get DeAndre Hopkins opposite Garrett Wilson and with Lazard, now you really got a package to go. See, my feeling is if you're the Jets, you got to go all in. This is a poker game. You only get 1 year without Aaron Rodgers. Then you're back to being the Jets.
I agree. And D-Hop may just be entertaining all of these potential visits and offers, but that's what it's going to come down to. And the cap situation for me, I here's where I'm at with this, guys. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I just always say teams keep who they want. It's never a situation. Guys get cut all the time. You know, they've got salary cap issues, and you release a guy because he's making too much money. That happens in the NFL. My thing is, when has a team released a guy that they wanted? they always find a way to keep him. And that's the thing that, when this salary cap conversation comes up and we go, oh, they don't have any money. Well, how the hell are they keeping all these guys that they want to keep?
Right.
It's amazing. So everybody can manipulate the cap
in
such a way.
We always use the Saints as an example. Now, again, guys, just to further illustrate just how completely screwed the Falcons were, when you see we had no mobility. We had no flexibility.
Zero.
And that's where, last year was the year the chickens finally did come up to roost, and that was it. Now we're in the clear, knock wood. Deshaun Watson says he's far ahead of where he was last year. How can you not be, Carl?
Well, he missed 2 years.
But he was terrible. He looked so rusty. Maybe was it just too unrealistic expectations for the fans to feel he was going to come in and rally that team to a wild card or something?
Well, everybody said they didn't. Some people said that they didn't even think he should start last year. Like, they should have stayed the course. Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback. And just let Deshaun be on the bench. The problem was they gave him that big contract. And once he became available, even though his deal last year, I think it only paid him $1 million, because they maneuvered the contract in such a way to kind of save, you had to play him. And so now, 2 years removed from football and having a full offseason, no distractions, Mike, no court appearances, none of the stuff that he's been dealing with. I would hope that he'd be a lot further ahead than where he was.
By the way, Brissett and Deshaun Watson combined for 19 touchdowns and 11 interceptions last year.
Wow.
I mean, that's between the two of them. So, Deshaun Watson, but now I would say that most Browns fans would say this is the year the rubber's got to hit the road.
I agree.
Period.
I totally agree.
Playoffs are bust for those guys.
Speaking of defensive help, guys, Chris was just showing me the Vikings situation. Ian Rappaport was reporting. And again, I don't know if we're done. We're going to talk to Arthur Smith coming up here as far as how our roster may shake out. But pass rusher Daniel Hunter, he is interested. What is this? The Vikings are about trading him potentially. So he may be on the trading block. What does he make? $5 million? $5 million. So again, we talk about, can we continue to upgrade our roster? Where do we go? Mike, I don't know if we're done. If you're telling me we could go add a pass rusher like that, I got to look at it. And you said this, we've got money to spend. How much more money do we have to spend on potential moves like that? It's going to depend on what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they'd be willing to trade, but that's just, I mean, you want to talk about another piece? With all due respect to Bud Dupree and some of the guys you've added, I think this guy's got some gas in the tank.
He's better.
Right.
This guy's better. Yeah, I totally agree with that. All right, guys, 404-726-0929. You can hit us up. Let us know what you think. Quinnen Williams is looking to get a deal, too, with the Jets. We were talking about this on the podcast today in the huddle about Robert Saleh coming out and saying, hey, we're going to get this deal done. He may be the third or fourth best defensive lineman in the NFL, but, Mike, he's looking for Aaron Donald money.
Right.
And there's only one Aaron Donald.
That's correct. And
so
Grady got a nice big contract. Other guys got paid. Who's it? Who's the guy that I wanted this year in the offseason from Washington went to the 49ers? Oh, never mind. But there was
from the Eagles.
Yeah, from the Eagles, I should say. Yeah, some guys got paid. Is he as good as those guys?
Quinnen Williams for the Jets, yeah. I think he's a top five guy at his position, but I think he'll get $20 million. I don't think he'll get $30 million. That's what Aaron Donald's going to make, $30 million this year.
Jabon Hargrave. Sorry, I went brain dead. Jabon Hargrave was the guy that I wanted.
49ers.
By the way, I'm looking back at some of the numbers for Daniel Hunter. Dude, you get that on this team? Oh. I mean, I don't know what their intentions are as far as what the rainy day fund is going to be and what they're going to be sort of earmarking.
That's what I'm saying.
But boy, oh boy, 10.5 sacks off the edge with what we've already added. And you throw in guys like Caden Ellis. And again, you're going to have 1 year, let's be honest, realistically, with some of these free agents we brought in. That's impressive, man. I'm telling you. This takes us from being like one of those, middle-of-the-road defenses to where now we're better-than-average defenses.
Yeah, you need more players like that. There's no doubt. And I think that's
I'm not worried that I'm not waiting for Ebiketie to pop. I've got a guy who's ready, hand in the dirt or standing up, can go get the quarterback.
I agree. Does that, hamper the development of some of these guys? I don't know. But I just need guys that can play. And if he's on the market, which apparently the Vikings are saying he will be, that's something I got to look at. Right. That's something I definitely got to take a look at. All right, we got plenty more to dive into, and we will. Coming up next hour, if you missed Jake Matthews, we're going to replay that for you as our left tackle stopped by here at Flowery Branch to talk with Mike and I. Also, Arthur Smith, as we said, 5 o'clock. And if you've got a question, by the way, all right, a legitimate question, you can send it to us. All right, and if it gets in the rotation, we'll certainly give you credit, but we want to ask a question of the fans, and I want you to send it to us. And put them up, C. Dukes or Mike Bell, ATL. What are you wondering about this team? Is there one specific thing that you are interested in? And we'll ask Arthur, and we'll say, hey, this is from our listeners, and we want to present this to you, all right? We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour.
Don't make it a surface narrative.
There's a lot of that going on. Hey, we come back. Can Jimmy Buckets and company get it done tonight at home? We'll talk about it next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour is brought to you by the Georgia Hemp Company. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Flowery Branch. Thanks to Jake Matthews and Drake London for stopping by. Literally as the show started, coming up next hour, we'll replay Jake for you. He is the elder statesman on this offensive line. And Mike and I keep talking about how much better can this O-line be.
Right.
He thinks they're on the right track, but he wouldn't go as far as saying that this was a reminder of where the line was the year we go to Super Bowl. And, Mike, nobody thought that line was going to be great.
No, but, I mean, one thing for certain, and you'll hear Jake talk about it, the turnover on offensive line last year at left guard, and the fact now you got a guy in Bergeron that he may be the guy, but he kind of got, if you listen closely, maybe read between the lines, maybe Jake Hinton said he's looking already good in the spring, but this isn't even, Carl, this isn't hitting.
No.
This isn't technique.
No.
This isn't all the two. No, well, they don't do 2 days anymore. But you know what I mean, all the really rough work that really sets that lineup up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's talk about what's going to happen tonight, guys. NBA Finals, more about the Braves coming up as well, as they will continue their series with the Mets. And it should be a great pitching matchup tonight. Scherzer and Morton should be a good one. But, Mike, what happens tonight? Now, this series is tied at one apiece. Miami went into Denver. They steal game two. And tonight, by the way, at home, they're a three-point dog, Miami is, okay? So, basically, Vegas is saying, hey, Denver's going to respond tonight, and they're more than likely going to go in. It might be a close game, but they're going to end up beating the Miami Heat, and they're going to do it by more than 3 points because they're embarrassed about the effort they gave in game two.
Two things. The Nuggets, and we had a lot of fun with, I think it was Chris Mannix and other guys who talked about this, that, you know, Michael Malone calls his guys out as soft, and they lost focus. To me, they got the lead. They got it by 13, 14, and 15. And then they looked like the Celtics lost, looked like, and their losses. They lost focus. They got, and Miami got them out of the rhythm. Miami looked like, again, Carl, they were running at twice the tempo than Denver was. And, yes, we all joked around. Well, that's how you beat the Nuggets. Jokic scores for 80 points and you don't let anybody else score. No, I mean, but there is something to be said for making him less of a playmaker, making him less of a, you know, if he wants to be more of the dominator than a facilitator, that sometimes is a net gain, even though Spoelstra wouldn't take the bait on the Ramona Shelbourne question from ESPN. I think that, the Heat continue this energy level. You see the Nuggets kind of just, the face they just made. Yeah, they just kind of zone out for a minute. That's what happened in the fourth quarter.
You're right. And if the Heat win tonight, you know, Jimmy Butler left the game, the arena the other night. I don't know if you guys saw it. He had a shirt on. It said 3 more wins.
There you go.
And
he's not lying.
He thinks, listen, and you get it. I mean, if you don't understand it now and the makeup of this guy, but he thinks like, hey, we're going to be able to do this. If they win tonight, Mike, that face you're making
right.
is going to get even worse because this pressure is going to start to mount. Right. And This is when you have, again, the eighth-seeded Heat taking on the number one seed from the West, and everybody's thinking about how good and how much better Denver is. If they are able to get this one tonight and they go up in this series, I just think they're going to start to feel that pressure a little bit more. And to your point, I thought Spoelstra outcoached Michael Malone in game two because of what the adjustments that he ended up making, whether it was starting, you know, Kevin Love and putting Jimmy Butler on Jamal Murray.
Right.
The little things that add up. Spoelstra said, we're going to do some different things, and it ended up working. You get the win. So I want to see tonight what Michael Malone's going to do when he comes to his adjustments. Here's Stephen A. Smith talking about Joker, and he says, you know, it's harder to guard a guy than like Joker than it is Steph Curry. And this is what Stephen A. had to say.
Listen, I understand that this big tub of lard that can't jump onto a curb is unstoppable. Great. It's unstoppable. Listen. I love Nikola Jokic. Love him. It's just unbelievable to watch him. It really, really is. He ain't harder to guard than Steph Curry.
He's not harder to guard. He ain't harder to guard than Steph Curry. This big tub of law.
Every time I hear, every time I hear Stephen A., I think it's a Saturday Night Live parody skit. That it's actually Stephen A.
Yeah.
I mean, with some of these takes. But okay. Hey, he's printing that money. Jokic is a force, but what makes Jokic so special is the ability to, from the pass, from the post, make those passes. He took some of that away.
He did.
He'll continue to try to do some of that. But he is a point center, for lack of a better word. And if they can continue that, then somebody else has got to pop. Then it's got to be more than Jamal Murray. Then the worker bees have to step up for your offense.
Dude, you know, when you watch tonight, and he'll do it in every game, but, like, Mike, it's amazing when he gets the board, gets the rebound, and he's running the break. He's leading the fast break, right. And he's looking like a point guard as he's got his head up, and he's like, who am I going to hit for the open shot? And I'm thinking, dude, this is their center, and he's not even close to being the fastest guy on the court, but yet it's that control you're talking about that he's got. This is, real quick, Steve Kerr talking about that Heat adjustment that I was mentioning about what Eric Spoelstra made. Will they do this again tonight? Is Jamal Murray going to be defended by Jimmy Butler? Here's Steve Kerr.
You know, I haven't talked to Spo or anything like that, but I can see them in their coaches meeting saying Murray's the head of the snake. You know, not Jokic. If you just look at it, you go, well, Jokic is the head of the snake. But when you play a team, you sort of realize, wait a second. Like, that guy's going to – he's going to dominate no matter what we do. So we got – this is the head of the snake. And I think they just decided Murray's the guy we got to stop. So you start Love, put Jimmy Butler on Murray. And then you saw, like, they were blitzing Murray quite a bit and really trying everything to take him out of the game.
Which gets us to shining point number three. Who's going to step up if that's a scenario that plays itself out tonight down in Miami? Then Michael Porter Jr.'s got to step up. Michael Porter, 5 points. 1 of 6 from three in game two. 14 points in the win. So Porter's a guy, Carl, who's way below his season average so far, which was 17 in the postseason coming into the series.
Yeah.
So there's a guy. So Porter's an athletic dude. We've seen him when they're winning, when they're beating the Lakers. Porter was a big guy off the wing. See what happens tonight. But, yeah, there are ways to do it. And when you play with an intensity that Miami does – I mean, that's, you can't quantify that. They just out-hustled those guys.
Yeah. You talk about these guys. Vincent, by the way, Gabe Vincent is averaging 21 points in this series. He's knocked down 9 of 16 three-point attempts. So a guy that was undrafted, maybe the best player on the floor and has been the difference maker for Miami, which is crazy. I think Bam's got to be great, Mike, tonight. He's got to continue to play great. He's been really good against Joker. Jimmy Butler's got to be Jimmy Butler. But if you're getting this from Gabe Vincent, you're going to win a chip.
Is Tyler Hero's hand healed yet? Because he has been shooting. He's been seen shooting. He's been wearing warm-ups. He's been – yes, he's out.
So they ruled him out today?
There you go.
Wow, because they were saying he could be back for game one,
right. And
he's not back. All right, guys, you tell us what you think as the NBA Finals continue tonight. And, again, I've said this, and I'll say it again. If the Heat find a way to get this done, this is the most remarkable NBA championship run ever. Eighth seed, play-in tournament. Jimmy Butler and about six undrafted dudes. It's unreal.
And we went back, if you guys missed the show earlier in the week, we looked at the Pistons, the Larry Brown Pistons, Iverson's, they didn't win Iverson's Sixers, but that was a team that was a light in talent. And then you go back and you say, man, you know, some guys were even down, they were downgrading Pau Gasol's contribution. No, you had Kobe and Pau, and you saw some decent pieces like Lamar Odom. But this is one, you're right. You go like two deep, and then you're into other dudes. You really are other guys, undrafted free agents. That's it.
Do you think, and I'm curious, because we have a guy in Trey that has this ability. Trey, he could score 40 on any given night. But is it in our best interest that he does that? Like, is it better for Trey to have 25-10 versus 40-6 assists, but he dominates scoring? Because that's kind of what I'm thinking with Joker is, Mike, it's great to see him do all this scoring, but I don't know if they're at their best when he's not doing all the other stuff.
I mean, it seems like when we're winning, Trey is, he can sort of fake the top, fake the three at the top of the key, get into some of those rolling pick and rolls with John Collins and Capella. So then he becomes the 25-10 guy that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's when we generally seem to win, right?
It does.
Although in the playoffs, Trey would be Superman a few times.
He had to be because he wasn't getting the role players to give him the help. It's just interesting because I think that's kind of where Joker is. Joker's like, look, I can score every time down if I need be. But when we're really moving this thing and moving the ball and getting open shots, I'm a distributor. I am much better, and we are much better as a team. We'll see how things shake out. Hey, we got a lot more to get to here on the show. We're live at Flyer Branch today, guys. Again, Falcons OTAs going on. If you're just joining us, Avery Williams done for the season. Coach telling us that today as he will be undergoing surgery. I think he's undergoing surgery tomorrow for an ACL injury, which happened actually Friday when Mike and I were over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They were out there for OTAs. So just one of those freak things, man. You're going to hear this throughout the league. I mean, guys, unfortunately, get hurt and they go down. And this is why you have to have depth. This is why you have to have guys that you feel comfortable with, Mike, moving forward.
Well, you've got Huntley. You've got a bunch of other dudes that are going to be on this roster. You can look at some of the dudes from some smaller schools, some bigger schools, some guys that bounce around the league. But, man, it's not that we're trying to poo-poo Avery because he's a big special teams contributor, kick return for touchdown, 1,600 yards in 2 years is nothing to sneeze at. But they'll find somebody else to do that role. And so I just feel bad for Avery because, as we said,
too.
I'm not even a DeGrom fan. You got to go think about this. DeGrom won't even be able to pitch until this time next year.
Yeah.
And now for Avery, the same thing. He'll be going into camp next year.
Yeah, Coach today when talking about how much they like him and his makeup. Quote, it's unfortunate. The team, talking about the team and how much they dig how this guy is built. And Avery was, we talk about this culture that they're building, right? It's not always the superstar guys. It's sometimes these guys that you bring in and everybody likes them and they get along with everybody and they do their job.
Right.
So Coach did say someone will have to step up. But they've got, I think, four guys that have return experience to potentially replace Avery Williams, who was basically our return guy. That was kind of his number one role with the Falcons.
And Cordell Patterson can do that. I mean, because with the expanded role, you could imagine of Bijan Robinson all over the field. And certainly, Algier knows what he's doing, Carl, that maybe CP can slip into some of that.
For sure.
And, he can take it to the house.
All right, guys. Yeah, Man, No Man's coming up. We'll find out what Turtle's talking about. Also, we'll get to the latest on Ladd McConkey, who's getting a lot of love from some people around college football. We're going to talk about that at 4 o'clock in our dog report. And the Braves, Mets, get ready to go at it for game two tonight. More on that. Grant McCauley is going to join us later in the show. It's Dukes and Bell.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
After Bryce Elder settled down last night, three scoreless. Braves come from behind to beat the Mets. Beat the Mets.
Step right up and whack the Mets.
Tonight, for that matter, Charlie Morton, 5-6, 3.62 ERA. We're going to talk more about this with Grant McCauley. Scherzer tonight in a battle of veteran right-handers. We will see how that plays out. We are live at Flowery Branch, guys. If you're just joining us, Coach Arthur Smith's going to join us at 5 o'clock today. We already had a chance to sit down with Drake Matthews. We talked with Drake London. Both of those guys coming right off the practice field to join us as the show started today. We'll tell you more of what we thought as they sat down with Mike and I talking about where the team is. OTAs, guys, this is the before the mandatory minicamp, and then they're going to get a break. And then the next time we come back up here, it's going to be go time. It's going to be camp.
Yeah.
And, Mike, that's the part where we say, hey, where's the physicality
right.
of this football team? You can look good all you want in shorts and T-shirts yeah. and helmets, but that's when we're going to learn a lot more.
They gave the fans something to look at Mercedes-Benz on Friday so you can see some of the way the offense is going to look. But, hey, as you said, as far as winning these jobs, especially the big depth jobs in defense and offensive line, got to wait for that.
All right, guys, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
All right, Turtle, what's going on today, man? How you doing?
Well, when you guys were here last time, I said, you know what? It was a shame I didn't get to come up here. So I said, when I come up here next time, you better get the big boy studios ready.
Well,
and boy, did the Falcons deliver.
This is true. This is part of the new Ticketmaster building, okay, which has been an add-on. If you've been up here to Flyer Branch over the years and to camp, Mike, literally they built this during the pandemic. We weren't up here.
Right.
And then when we came back, it was done, but it is super nice, man.
It's got new building smell. I was talking to some of the guys from Falcons PR earlier today, and I was like, yeah, it was during the commercial break. I was walking around, and literally, like, over people's shoulders in the cubby hole, I was like, it's got new building smell.
What are you doing over here? So one of the biggest pluses to come out of the sports gaming world in a long time now has a big minus. The College Football Playoff Association
okay.
is organizing a boycott of the 2024 return for EA Sports College Football. Because the payout for athletes to use their NIL is just $500.
Mm.
One anonymous source, quote, they should not opt into it. It is just a ridiculously low amount of money. So, yeah, man, no man. Does this put a damper on the return of one of the best video game franchises of all time?
Yeah, now this came back to, help me remember, Turtle, Mike, this game was great, but it went away because the players were not seeing any benefits from
right.
it, right?
In 2014 was okay. the last one.
It was the Ed O'Bannon trial. It was kind of like one of the after effects of that as far as not using the likenesses in the games.
And so now it's back.
Mm-hmm.
College football fans are psyched about it. I know I am because I love the game as well because you could go back and play with the best college football players ever and all that stuff. But this is a fail. Like, that's not enough money. That's not enough. This is a no man. That's a fail right there.
Right.
All this money out here that's being made, we're talking about guys. I know kids that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars with NIL. You're going to pay these guys $500?
Yeah, Caleb Williams is going to look at that and say, that's ashtray money, bro.
By the way, one of the coolest and I think one of the funnier videos or funnier commercials for the video games was the one back in the day when you could use a former Heisman Trophy winner on your team. You could put him on your roster, and it was Mike the Tiger. And you remember he's in Les Miles' office?
Oh, yeah.
And he's playing LSU, and he's using RG3 as the quarterback. And Les comes in and goes, you were like a son to me, a tiger son. Now get the hell out of here. Get on some pants. Look it up on YouTube. It'll make you laugh.
No, so my next story, one of a lot of promise as well. If this guy just acted like this of what you're about to hear, I think he would be the biggest star in media the minute he decides to hang it up. Draymond Green was on his podcast for the Volume Sports, breaking down the final play in Game 2 between the Nuggets and the Heat. And the way that he does this and the articulation that he uses, you can see why there's a lot of media companies that are really hungry for him. It's just all these shenanigans right. that get in the way. But listen to Draymond and tell me if this isn't just mastery right here.
And he started getting in his package, and Joker popped open. And Joker, like, thought he was about to get the ball for a wide-open three. And then he realized Jamal wasn't passing it. And Jamal started dancing, and stepped back. The right play would have been to throw the ball to Joker and let him shoot it because he was wide open. But Jamal is also a big shot taker and a big shot maker, so he wants that moment. He was taking all of those shots, and he got them right back in and had a chance to tie it up and send it to overtime. But he stepped back, shot the ball, and missed it. And what you will see in most situations like that with a lot of guys is they dropped their head, they slumped their shoulders. Joker clapped his hand. But it was like a clap like, he barely missed. It wasn't like a clap, I should have got the ball. Shoulders did not drop a centimeter. Body language did not change. And that's why they're in the NBA Finals. Because the confidence that gives coming from Joker to Jamal Murray, like, take that shot. Because he know the guy isn't going to slump his shoulders.
So, yeah, man, no, man. Do you agree with what I'm saying? I thought that was a fantastic breakdown.
Talking about, you know, Jamal Murray taking these shots, whether Joker should be touching the ball at the end of these games and he should be the guy. Listen, I'll say this about Draymond. You know, he is a four-time champion, right? He knows what championship caliber basketball is like, and he's playing with the best shooter ever. I'm never going to debate his understanding or his acumen of what's going on the court. That's not been the debate. The debate for me has been, does he do stupid stuff when he's playing? Right. Does he hurt his team by doing those stupid things? But when it comes to this kind of stuff, Chris, this is why he's got a deal already with TNT. I think, again, Charles is Charles, but there is a place, there's a space for Draymond Green to be in this world where he can, you know, debate and talk about hoops and give those kind of breakdowns. I don't disagree with anything he said there. And listen, this is why I think the Steve Kerr thing that we've been talking about was so big. Jamal Murray is the go guy. He's not lying. If you contain him, it really hurts how Denver plays. And I think that Draymond's right on top of this. Yeah, man. I'm going to say yeah, man.
Yeah. My last story here for the day, I hate to admit it, kind of made me like this guy a little bit, and I don't like this guy.
Who don't you like?
CP3.
Uh-oh.
I find him kind of annoying.
Is he hurt?
No. No, well, not yet.
What, do you have a bad insurance experience?
No, I just
companies he endorses.
I always found him and his teams to be annoying with the whole Lob City thing, and I didn't find him to be that rootable or that likable of a guy. But he went on the Pivot podcast, which is really popular, and he basically described how the relationship with his daughter has shaped the end of his career, and I found this to be really touching.
Harder for the people around me. Right, especially my wife. My wife is the one who has to bear those late nights, those I can't sleep, and my kids. Like, my daughter is the sweetest soul you'll ever meet in your life, right? The sweetest soul ever in your life, but she's at that age now where at school, kids talk crazy to her, right? So she had a little boy, whatever, at school that said some reckless stuff to her. It was like, your daddy ain't never gonna win no championship, right? And my baby is so... She's special. She'll hold it together there, but when she got in the car, she called, and she was upset. And I had to have that conversation with her and talk to her, you know, and tell her, like, baby, some people talk and some people do.
And, baby, daddy's got $150 million in the bank, and that guy's dad is probably working two jobs.
Mike is right.
At the end of the day, look, I mean, I get it. These are children, and children can be mean. Oh, no. And the fact that somebody's taunting your dad, yeah, your dad, Chris Paul, never won nothing. Well, again, once you come to our house, you can play basketball in our basketball court in the living room.
Inside of a swimming pool.
Yeah, you know, I mean, come on.
Made of Jell-O.
Yeah, well, my daddy's richer than your dad, so how many rings do you have? How many rings does your dad have? The plumber. Joe the plumber, what's he got?
Well, it gets to that once you get to a certain age. Right. I do agree. But, yeah, when you're hearing – and by the way, this all comes from parents. Mm-hmm. It all comes from parents. Like, kids are just repeating what their parents say. When you come to school and the kid's like, your dad, kid doesn't know any damn difference. But his dad or his mom, who was cheering, probably realized, oh, Chris Paul's never going to win. Mommy, I go to school with Chris Paul's daughter. Oh, well, you tell her I said that. And that's where this stuff comes from.
I just thought it made him seem a little bit more like – I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got away from your point.
You guys don't have the – but it seems like you guys don't have the same disdain for him that I do. I just always found him kind of annoying.
Well, I mean, I like him better if he can stay healthy during the big moments of his career. I mean, just every last, like, 5 or 6 years, he breaks down every May. It's just like clockwork.
It does. CP3, though, has been a winner everywhere he's been. Think about everywhere he's been. From the time he's been drafted, his teams have become playoff teams. Now, you're going to say he didn't win a chip? It's hard, guys. Getting to the playoffs, going to teams that he's been – he took Oklahoma City to the play in the bubble.
Well, that Houston series is the one.
I mean, seriously,
they should have beat Golden State. If he was healthy.
But I'm with you. No, I don't.
The
have
Clippers that. Team's really disappointed, and he was kind of the point man. The point man, the focal point of those teams. Claw was on those other teams, but
you know who the coach was, though, right?
Yeah, Doc.
Yeah,
and Doc chokes at all those.
And that is part of this narrative when you talk about the Clippers. But no, I don't have that disdain. But that is a great story about his daughter, man. Kids can be mean. Were you a mean kid, Mike?
No, man. We had a lot of fun. We honestly.
Did you make fun of kids?
Not really. I mean, it's funny. We didn't really have cliques. I got to be honest. When the public school I graduated from, everybody got along.
Yeah.
The dirtbags, the dweebs, the motorheads, the geeks, kind of like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
The jocks, everybody had a good time. We didn't really. It was really like my high school was cliqueless. Catholic school was very cliquey, but public school wasn't for me. I guess I lucked out. I had a lot of fun.
That's interesting. No, we didn't either. And I'm with you. I got along. My group of guys, we got along with everybody. We used to the kickers; those are the guys that wore the boots and the cowboy hats. I mean, we had all kind of groups. It didn't matter, and we got along with pretty much everybody. Right. So I wasn't that guy either. But if somebody was to make fun, it was all in fun. Like we could joke with each other.
If anybody bullied in my school, guys would be so quick to get on that guy and bust his chops that you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it was like a fun loose vibe. Yeah. I'm looking back at it. Yeah, I don't want to go back, but I had fun.
Sounds like you guys went to high school in a sitcom, because my school definitely had cliques and it definitely had cool kids.
Well, we didn't have mean girls at our. You know, we had mean girls.
No, baby. Did you? What were you? What did you do? What was your extracurricular activities?
I was on the football team and the track team.
Okay,
so
Got along with everybody.
I didn't say I wasn't a beneficiary of those cliques. Right. I just said that definitely.
The year I broke my collarbone, I did drama clubs. I couldn't do anything, so I played Dracula in school play. I met all those chicks. It's like band club. Those chicks get it in. So I was involved with like the theater class. So I was kind of doing a bit of everything, man.
Yeah, I.
Mike's right about that, by the way.
What, the theater?
That's where if you want to do some experimentation,
that's where the sex happens.
Yeah, that's where you go.
Yep.
Wow, you guys are pretty confident.
I'm just telling you. Well,
I thought it was the band chicks.
The band is a spin-off, the creative people. Those kids are a little more progressive.
One year
at
band camp. I thought it was the band chicks.
Yeah, baby.
Fair enough. Experimentation, Carl.
I understand. Yeah, I guess it was that way in my speech class. I don't remember.
I ran for student council president. I lost the vote. I lost. I didn't have a strong platform on the soda machines in the Commons area. I should have had a stronger platform.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All the little things matter. What are you going to do for me, Mike?
Munson was my campaign director, so there you go.
All right, I know we got to run.
Pizza on Mondays and Fridays, darn it. Hash browns on the side. All right, we got to run. Day-Day, hit my music.
Good stuff. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Dogs, Ladd McConkey. We'll tell you the latest about what's going on with him. You're going to hear from Jake Matthews as well. How good is this offensive line going to be moving forward? Jake feels pretty confident. Mm-hmm. You'll hear it in the 4 o'clock hour coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.